Welcome to the Riveting Rosies podcast, a space where we discuss mental health, business ventures, real life challenges, and everything in between. I'm your host, Fran, Harry Potter nerd, CEO of the Passions Collective, multi-passionate entrepreneur, and cat mom. I'm so excited to be here with you to share my advice, experiences, and conversations with women that educate, empower, and inspire. Okay. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I'm super excited for everything that we are going to chat about today. But just to get started, do you mind just like briefly introducing yourself for anyone who doesn't know you?
Yeah. So I'm Lexi. I'm a business coach. Actually, I'd now call myself an intentional marketing coach, but I do teach business fundamentals and strategies. Fun facts about me, I have two other businesses. One is a CBD business and one is a clothing store. I'm a dog mom and I live in Austin, Texas.
Awesome. I think it's so cool that you've had so many businesses and that you have so many businesses. I don't know how you manage it all because I can't even manage like running one.
I don't. That's the secret. It's definitely been a struggle. I've learned a lot. A little tip, even just share a tip 2 seconds into this podcast interview, is have patience because I'm very impulsive and I've started all my businesses off of impulsive decisions. Mm-hmm. So it's doable if you're patient.
Awesome. Well, the first thing that is kind of like on the agenda for us to chat about today is some, I guess, like bad trends that we're seeing in the business coaching industry, because I feel like there are a lot of them. And we've kind of talked about this just like outside of the podcast. But I know like one of the big ones that we've talked about recently is the fact that so many other coaches in the online business space are just like copy and pasting other people's programs.
Yes. So I feel like this trend has been around for a while, but it was kind of masked by other trends like the 10K months and scaling to blah, 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 super fast, like how to sign 100 clients in a day. Like, it wasn't until things got really slow, like this time of year, basically, that we started noticing how bad it really is. I mean, we both work with Jen, for example, and her disruptive program. I've now seen other coaches with more followers than her just steal her idea. And you'll notice it's like a trickle effect. Yeah. One person will talk about one thing. Next thing you know, it's all over everyone's Instagram and it's quite embarrassing. And I think there's a difference between talking about like a topic that's, I guess, popular and then actually just like stealing people's content. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty bad. Honestly, it's like its own issue.
Yeah. And I feel like it's something that I just like, I don't understand why people do, because it's not going to benefit them. Mm-hmm. Because they're not like if you're copy and pasting what someone else is doing, you're not attracting your own audience. You're just like stealing theirs, essentially.
I honestly agree. And I think the reason why people do it, and I've honestly like found myself during this slow season, like it's like this urge where it's like, you don't know what you're doing. You know, maybe you're not making as much money. So you're like, you start getting desperate. And I feel like mm-hmm. people just start desperately trying to come up with inspiration. But the problem is instead of, you know, looking at other people's ideas and getting inspiration, they just look and then they steal. And it's pretty bad. It's actually sad. Like, I'm not angry about it as much anymore. I actually just feel bad for people that do that because clearly they're not like inspired enough on their own, or they're not as educated on their field as they claim. And it is sad because it's a sucky feeling. So
yeah, for sure. And I feel like there's just like there are so many other options than just stealing someone else's work. Like, you know, I know both of us have been really, and like I was inspired by you to start like actually learning things and like taking courses. And it's been really, I don't know, like, because I haven't learned anything per se since I graduated college in December. Mm-hmm. And I realized when I started doing it, like, how much I missed the feeling of learning something. And I think just by doing that, like, I already feel more inspired in my business, even though, like, the topics that I was learning about don't necessarily directly relate to what I do in my business. But I feel like just, like, educating yourself and doing something different is going to help you, like, come up with more ideas.
100%. And there's actually, like, a reason behind that. And it's, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to try to, like, be scientific, but the brain is like a muscle and we don't exercise it nearly as much, because you figure we go through how many years of school, and then, you know, like, regular school, and then college, and then some people go and get a master's, you know, or they go to a trade school or whatever. And it's like, after that, we're kind of burnt out. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we don't think learning is a necessity. And then we kind of lose, like, that muscle, like, our brain just kind of gets, like, soggy, hypothetically, and we, like, run out of ideas. And so I kind of, you know, stumbled across Coursera again. And I was like, dang, like, I love learning. And, like, since then, I feel like I've, like, elevated my brain.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. So going back to some of the other, like, trends that you mentioned before, the 10K months and, you know, like, scaling your business to whatever, I want to talk about them and why they are also just, like, not positive things to have in the coaching industry, and how they can be really dangerous for business owners who are, like, newer or haven't, you know, spent enough time in the online space to realize how dangerous they can be.
100%. I'll start with 10K months. I mean, if you were to actually look at the bank accounts of these people who scale to 10K months, I mean, odds are they don't have as much money as they say, or they had $8,000 in expenses. And that's because they had to hire an OBM. They needed to pay for Kajabi, you know, website, branding, all those things in order to get to that point. And not to mention, they also most of the time did rely on other people's content to kind of skyrocket themselves to that 10K month, you know, spot. And then my other beef with it too is because it's like, it's not sustainable, mm-hmm. you know, like to go that quickly. And I've actually seen, like, TikToks and other people talking about the fact that they grew so fast they couldn't keep up and they didn't know how to manage their money. And they mm-hmm. It's like people who win the lottery, you know, like they literally will just blow all their money yeah. and then they're broke again, you know? So not only is it dangerous in terms of, like, finances, sorry, I'm going on a rant here, but it's also, I feel like, dangerous in terms of mindset, for when you do experience 10K, you kind of hit a peak and then you can either keep going or you can fall off. And then for us who maybe haven't hit that 10K or whatever, it also kind of, like, you start to feel like an imposter, you feel like you're not good enough. So it's like, it's just very toxic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I like that you brought up the fact that, you know, like, people who have hit 10K months, like, I feel like no one talks about their expenses. Like, you could be making 10K months and still have, like, no profit mm-hmm. if you have really high expenses. And no one talks about that. And I think that's, it's, like, an easy trap, I think, for newer business owners to fall into, because there's so many coaches out there who are like, oh, I went from, like, zero to 10K in, like, 3 months or 6 months or whatever. And it's like, that's good for you, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen for everyone. And it's also not a sign that you have a successful business or that you know how to teach others how to build a successful business.
Exactly. And something else to point out as well is, I'm going to try to verbalize this here. So let's say I'm making $7,000 a month. I know that I can hit 10K, right? So I create a program that says scale to 10,000. Okay, well, I don't have 10K yet, but the sales that I'm going to get from that program are going to be how I actually get to 10K. It's like how people mm-hmm. are like, here's how you make $1,000 next month. And then they sell a course about it. But the only reason why they made $1,000 is because they made that course. It's like a, right. I don't even know how to explain it. But so that happened a lot too, is it's like people didn't talk about the fact that they were making 10K because they were selling phony programs on how they scaled to 10K when they actually hadn't yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually like I know a friend in the entrepreneurial space, and she had a business coach like earlier on when she was in her business, who like was saying that she hit six figures and all of this stuff. And then once my friend got into the program with her, she was like, "Oh, well, I haven't actually hit six figures yet. I'm just like on track to." And I was like,
It's not the
"That's
same
not
thing
the
at
same
all. Like,
thing."
I've made, so in order to make six figures, you have to make at least $8,300 a month. Like, I've made those months, but I've never made six figures. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not, and honestly, something else I want to talk about is I'm right now making the least amount of money I've ever made in my life. Like, literally, because I just dissolved my agency and now I'm moving into coaching full time and having to start over. When I was making $8,000 a month, my life was worse, I'll be honest, because I had more expenses. I didn't know what I was doing. It just like people always think that the money is going to automatically solve all your problems, but it really doesn't. You know, you have to be happy with what you're doing. And right now I'm happy. Yeah, I'm broke, but I'm happy. You know, I know that like things take time and we have to stop, you know, relying on instant gratification, you know?
And I think that like instant gratification is definitely like what people prey on when they are using those tactics, like 10K months and all of that stuff, because it's easy to want that like as a consumer. And you know, when someone is promising that as the outcome, I think it's easy for us to be like, "Oh, well, you know, like they're saying they can get us to this point, so like obviously I'm gonna invest in that." And I think the other thing is that a lot of the times people or like coaches who talk about scaling their clients to 10K months or whatever the number might be, they don't talk about like where their clients started income wise, and they don't talk about how long it takes either, which are obviously very important factors.
So true. And something that goes hand in hand with that is they also only share the best of the best. You kind of start to tell when a coach relies on like their four same clients for social proof, when same person over and over again. It's like, I want to see the other people that, you know, I want to know the bad, the middle, like everything, because it's like, we need transparency. We need everyone to be realistic. Owning a business is not easy. It's like, it's so funny because these online service providers are so annoying in the sense that they always paint it out to be this like easy thing. I'm making so much money. And it's like, well, if you look at business owners who are making millions a year in like, you know, brick and mortar, it's not always good for them either. And they're open about it. So it's like, why can't we be open about it too? It's like, I feel like that's the struggle with combining social media with what we do.
I agree, because I think for social media, like everyone has always used it as a way to show like the good side of things. You know, if you're having like a really bad day, most people aren't gonna go on social media and like post about it. And that just like, yeah, that continues into people who use it for business, because then as someone like looking in on your business on their business, you just think like, "Oh, it's always good. Like they never struggle or they never have bad days." And that's like a really dangerous mindset. And I definitely experienced that when I was first starting my business, because I followed like,
Two.
you know, these like bigger accounts that I looked up to. And I was like, "Oh, I just want to be like where they are because they're so happy and they like have everything that I want and everything's going well for them." And then, you know, like as I continued to grow my business, I realized like, yeah, they might have like X, Y, and Z, but that doesn't mean that they don't have like bad days or that they're not struggling with their mental health or anything else that might be going on, because those just aren't things that a lot of people share on social media. So it's hard to really get the full picture just by looking at someone's Instagram.
So true. And it's funny because you say like, oh, they don't share the bad days, but I'm even thinking like, you know, for like, I don't know when you started out in this space, but last year Jenna Kutcher like came under some fire with, you know, and it was like even like that kind of stuff, like I would never want to experience something like that. Like she had such a big audience that it's a lot easier for people, you know, you start getting into stuff with people and it's like, you know, there's even people who probably have tried to like sue like Shannon at the Social Bungalow, like, or Maria Went, like all these people. And it's like, no one talks about that kind of stuff too. Imagine like the legal issues they probably run into as well, like reaching mm-hmm. so many. And I'm not saying that having a big audience is bad, but it definitely comes with the territory that you start interacting with more people, your unhappy customer rate starts to go up, like, you know, people start getting mad at you. So I just, that's something else that they don't share either.
Right. And I think like as your audience grows, I feel like when you have a bigger audience, people just don't care as much about like whether they're nice to you.
No, they
like
don't.
They just, I feel like they just are like, oh, they have a big audience, like I can just be mean to them, it's mm-hmm. fine. And I don't know, for some reason I feel like TikTok is just a very vicious platform when it comes to that. But I think like the more followers that someone has, people just like don't consider them another human being and don't care about their feelings mm-hmm. or what they say. And that's like, I know, you know, like people who have like gone viral and just like really grown their account so fast and experienced that just like hatred from other people. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough to deal with. And I don't think people talk about that either.
I don't know if you like follow along with a lot of like the bigger, and I know this is like now getting out of like the topic we originally were going to discuss, but so like, I don't know if you know who Sienna May is, and then like Victoria Paris are the two that come to mind right now. There's like, if you guys don't know who they are, they're just like female influencers. Sienna was known for like body positivity, and Victoria's kind of just like carefree. I live in New York City, kind of, I don't know. But it's so funny because their rise and fall of fame or whatever was so quick. And it's like, this is what I'm talking about, is sustainability can be practiced and implemented in all different types of things, like with them, right? Like they grew so fast, they started growing their enemy like base quicker than their fan base. Like, you know, with me, like I scaled too quickly, too fast, didn't know what to do. And then I kind of like fell off after that or whatever. Like, and so it's like sustainability is so important in all areas. Like, this is why it bothers me when clients, this is why I don't even do marketing for people anymore, because I hated when clients would say, oh, I want this many followers and this. And it's like, and then we see online service providers do the same thing. It's like, people just need to chill, but it's never going to mm-hmm. change because we live in a world where everyone expects everything so quick. So.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like, what you were saying about sustainability is really important, because I think a lot of like coaches who work with like brand new business owners don't teach that. And they're just like, oh, well, you have to like post on Instagram all the time. You have to be on your stories 24/7. You like, you need to be doing X, Y, and Z all the time in order to grow your business. And that is not sustainable, because eventually you're going to get burnt out, and then you're not going to enjoy what you're doing anymore because you're just trying to do too many things at once. Mm-hmm. And I wish that more people like talked about that and focused on that for people who are starting their business, because it's like, when you start your business off that way, it's just like kind of sucky, because mm-hmm. you know, it's inevitable that eventually you're going to get burnt out, and no one like enjoys that, obviously. Yeah. But, I think at least for me, like I got into that situation where I was just really burnt out, and I didn't even know like what to do in that situation, because mm-hmm. nobody had like shared their experiences about being burnt out that I followed or like connected with, and no one like had advice or like was talking about what to do in that situation. So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna not do anything on social media for like 2 months because mm-hmm. I don't know what else to do. And I just feel like there needs to be more resources focused around that.
100%. I don't even, and not only just resources, but it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be explained in a way that actually is relevant, because I feel like I used to think burnout was like, oh, I just am tired, like I don't feel like working today. But I'm in the middle. I sound like a depressive wreck right now, but I feel like I'm also in like a transitional period. So hopefully you guys can relate to this, because I've been doing this since 2018. Like, I started my marketing agency, I started interning at agencies, like all these things. I've been doing it nonstop. And now I'm literally so lost, like in the sense that marketing was like my identity. Like, having an agency was my identity. That's all I did. I was taking clients nonstop. Now I like literally hate it. Like, I hate it so much because I'm so tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I love teaching. I love coaching. That's why I'm doing it. But I was feeling so lost for a while. I was like, I'm going to go get a part-time job. because I just need a break. Like, I need a break. I need to go work some mindless job to just like take a break from things. I never did it because I don't like working for other people. But I mean, that's what burnout is, in my opinion, as well. Like, it's not even just like, oh, I'm going to be gone off social media. It's like, I literally feel lost. Like, nothing is making me happy with what I'm doing anymore. So,
yeah, for sure. And people definitely don't talk about that. And it's like, everyone is always like, oh, like build a business, like doing what you love. And they don't talk about the fact that like you can build a business around doing what you love and end up hating it if you do it too much.
Yeah. And then falling out of love with it. Like, that's my struggle right now. But then again, this led me to my like awakening that I need to move into more of like a consulting side, because I hated marketing, doing it for other people. I hate it, but I love teaching it, and I love implementing like strategies for myself to test out. And so I think like it's important, if you're going through a period of time where it might be burnout, to be like journaling and just reflecting on how you feel, because you might have some sort of awakening where you're like, okay, I like this. How can I like pivot, still do this, but in a different way?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of like, I don't know, owning a business is like self-work too, because you have to be figuring out like what works for you and what you actually enjoy and what you want to do. And you know, like that could be changing a lot depending on what you like to do and like the type of person that you are. But talking about marketing, I feel like is a good segue into kind of like the second half of this episode. So I want to talk about different advice and like strategies and tips that you have for people who want to stop copying other people, or like maybe not that harsh, but like if someone is struggling to like find inspiration outside of like industry trends, or they're struggling to feel like they're standing out in their industry. I want to talk about that because I know that is kind of what you're focusing on right now in your business.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll kind of like, it's going to be a little sporadic, but I'll try to piece it all together. So my first piece of advice is going back to the education thing, because so let's say you're a branding expert, right? Like, you need to know obviously how to brand, but you also need to know how to sell. So I would recommend taking courses on selling, because you start to realize like, oh, okay, like these are different ways to sell. This is sales psychology. That can help shape your content, first of all, right? Like, instead of just being like, this is what a logo is, or this is how you brand, like you start to find different ways to phrase, you know, basic concepts. So that's number one, is learning how to sell, learning how to rephrase your content. Number two, I call it the content expansion method. And I'm actually teaching this in Stand Out and Sell Out in September. And essentially what it is, it's just teaching you how to break your content down. So let's say you're a sales coach or something, and you're like, instead of teaching, okay, these are price objections, why don't you talk about why we even need price objections to begin with? And then break it down even further. We typically need price objections because people either don't see value in what you're doing, or they don't trust you. Okay, well, why don't they see value? Why don't they trust you? There you go. That's a topic right there. Why people don't trust, or why you need trust in order to sell. Like, that's not a new concept, but the way you break it down, it does kind of seem new, which is how you get people to be interested in your content, is you take an idea that everyone already knows and you just kind of like make it like, I guess, like fresh, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the two things right there. And number three, just stop looking at your competitors. I know it's easy to do it because it's so accessible, but since I've stopped looking, I don't even look at like Jen's page anymore. Like, for example, she's not really my direct competitor, but don't look at other people's pages. Do your own research, you know, like write things down as you start thinking of, oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to even not even finish that sentence. My other tip is to have conversations with people, because the amount of times I've thought of things, having conversations with you, for example, or other friends that I have on this space, I've come up with so many ideas just off of that. Even doing market research calls, or, oh, that's another thing, do market research calls. Those four things I've been doing the last month, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, I love that. And I also feel like a lot of people, I guess, like don't understand the value of being different and like setting yourself apart. And I think a lot of people I know, especially in the virtual assistant industry, everyone is always talking about how the market is oversaturated and like you won't be able to find like a job or whatever. And I think that like people don't realize the importance of just like, and you've talked about this, like showing your personality and making your business like your own and not trying to like mimic other people's businesses or other people's content. So can we just like chat about just the importance of setting yourself apart from other people's businesses?
100%. I mean, it's like, I don't believe that anything is oversaturated, because at the end of the day, there's almost 10 billion people on this planet, but we all have something different about ourselves, you know? And I think like as a VA or social media manager or OBM or whatever, like there's a fine line between being professional and like showcasing what makes you different. Like I started sharing about my struggles with, you know, burnout. And then I went through a divorce last year and I talked about that openly. And I had a lot of people connect with me, like clients, like actual business owners, you know, women especially, who were like, wow, that's so powerful that you talked about that. Like, I love that you have the guts to do it. Like, let's work together. You know, I think like, why would you want to blend in with other people? Why would you want people to glance over you? Like, you want to be known for something. You want to be remembered for something. Like, I shared about my Shrek marathon that I did like 2 weeks ago. And I swear to God, I got like 50 messages being like, that's so funny. And then like people were messaging me a week later being like, I totally thought of you because I watched Shrek. Like, it's like little things like that, like that just make people, you have to have people remember you, because our attention spans are like 8 seconds or less than that, you know? Yeah. And I'm researching neuromarketing right now, but there's a part of our brain that's like about remembering brands. And it's like, you know, we consume so much information. It's like, you have to be remembered, essentially.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think like the more that you can like relate to someone's personal interests, that's going to like make that connection stronger, because I don't know, like someone can like your content or like relate to what you're posting or whatever, but if you you know, like the Shrek marathon, like that's so much more personal. And even though it doesn't have to do with business, like it gets people to connect you and it starts conversations.
100%. I'm going to use my friend Natalie as an example. I shared something about Star Wars or something like, and she, or no, she did. Sorry. And I was like, oh my God, like I love Star Wars. I had no idea she liked it. And it just made me like her even more, because we just like connected. She was like sending me videos of her lightsabers that she bought. Like, and now it's like, she's on the forefront of my mind when I go on Instagram. Right. Like, and it's, you don't need to go on there, like be openly like crying on camera if that's not what you want to do, but like, you know, even something small, sharing your dog or sharing like, hey, I just bought a new car, or oh my God, I spilled my mac and cheese in the sink or something, like people will be like, that's hilarious, I've done that before too. And then you learn more about them, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think yeah, like you don't have to, like obviously there's going to be like, you can set your own boundary of like what things you share in your life and what things you don't. But I think even like, regardless of where that boundary is for you, you can still find a way to like integrate personal content and just like showcase who you are outside of your business. And I think that's way more effective at like building connections and like just like meeting new people than other like business content is. And that's not saying like it's not important, but
I agree. It's kind of like going on a dating app and then like thinking that you can rely on finding someone solely off of their pictures without knowing anything about them. Like, I just kind of thought about it, because people are so rigid in this space. Like, I love you guys, but you're very boring sometimes. Like, people are like, I don't even know. Or like they try to showcase their personality and I see them trying, but it's like, showcasing your personality isn't this like well-crafted graphic of what you have to do today and a little silly joke. It's like, just show us like who you are as a person, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, people need to stop taking it so seriously. Like,
yeah. And I think part of that comes from like, I guess I think people have like a preconceived notion that you have to like show up professionally if you have like a business Instagram. And I understand that like logic. But I also think that like you can define what professional means for yourself. And I think that if you are like talking about your spilled mac and cheese and someone thinks that's unprofessional, like, do you really even want to work with them? Exactly.
No, you don't. I knew exactly what you were going to say, because that's the other thing too, is like, if you want to share something funny. Okay, so Sarah at the Social Reef, she's a friend of mine as well. She shared this hilarious meme about a graveyard, and it was, I thought it was funny. And she's like, dude, no one responded to this Instagram. Like, so I just stopped sharing stuff like that. And I'm like, the right people will respond. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the right people. I'm going to use another girl. Her name is Erica. She's like a confidence coach or something.
Yes, I love Erica.
Yeah, yeah, she openly talks about, you know, I don't know what rating your podcast is, so I'm not going to go into detail.
You can say it. It's okay.
Okay. She like openly talks about her like sex life and like her D appointments and stuff. And it's like taboo to some people, but she doesn't care because she's attracting people who like to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. I think like it almost like showing up authentically and just like showcasing your personality almost like works as like a filter for your audience. Like, you know that the people that you're connecting with are actually going to be people you want to work with. Mm-hmm. It's like an application system that like you don't have to put effort into.
Oh my God, I love that. That's a really, really good way to put it. Like, seriously. And people get so hooked on like, oh, I only have 1800 followers right now, but those 1800 followers are a very like tight knit group of people right now, yeah. You know, and I'm going to keep it that way.
So, yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I think that it's like super easy to get caught up in like vanity metrics and be like, oh, well, I need this many followers to do like X, Y, and Z. When really you just need to like make connections with the people that follow you.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And like, you think about the fact that I've mentioned how many people on this podcast, all from memory, people that have stuck out in my head. It's like, yeah. It just goes to show, you know, standing out for something. Like, these people have no idea I'm probably talking about them, but, you know, so.
I love it. Okay, so then kind of to, like, wrap up this episode, I'm going to let you talk about Stand Out and Sell Out, because I'm super excited about it, and I want everyone else to know about it.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it quick, but Stand Out, Sell Out essentially is a program. It's a four-week program that is going to be tailored to teaching you guys how to stand out, teaching you how to be authentic, you know, how to really connect with your ICA. That's, like, the sellout part. Like, I want to teach you not only how to show up as an individual, but how to actually like create and craft programs that help, you know, get sold out. So knowing how to really dig into what your ICA really wants, understanding them like the back of your hand, create like the content expansion method I'm going over. I've done a ton of research on neuromarketing and consumer psychology that I'm adding into this. Like, it's all very science-based as well as like experience-based. I've had a lot of failures, you guys, but I feel like I could use them like at least to my advantage. So I'm super stoked for it. So it's in September.
Awesome. Well, if anyone is interested, hit up Lexi on Instagram. What is your Instagram?
Oh, it's Lexi D Coaching.
Yes. And then, oh yeah, does your podcast start? Is it launching?
It actually is live today. It's called the I Hate Marketing Podcast.
I love that. I can't wait to listen. I will definitely link that in the show notes for anyone who wants to listen.
Yay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to talk about all of this.
Me too. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Riveting Rosies podcast. If you have 30 seconds to spare, it would be so awesome if you could leave a review and let me know what you thought of this episode or the podcast in general. You can learn more about myself, your host, at thepassionscollective.com or on Instagram at thepassionscollective. To keep up with the podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button and head over to Riveting Rosies on Instagram.